You're listening to The Dream Show with Jane Theresa Anderson.
Welcome to The Dream Show. I'm Jane Theresa Anderson, and this is episode 71. If you've been listening to these podcasts for a while, you'll notice from my voice that my voice isn't what it usually is. And yes, I've just had the flu for a couple of days. Today, I'm feeling so much better in every way, mind, body and soul. But my voice is still showing the wear and tear of a hacking cough. So my apologies for my voice. Being sick, I'm so rarely sick, has reminded me and given me great compassion for people that are ill. Even if it just appears to be a cough, a cold, or a bit of flu. And of course, I've had a bit of a rest and quite a few impromptu sleeps. So here we are, episode 71 with a crackly voice, and I hope that you're still going to enjoy listening. We don't have a guest today because I've been a bit fluey and been a bit sick. But what I've got for you today is two topics that I think you'll find very interesting. One is about how we can control our dreams while we're asleep. And the other one is what we can do with our dreams once we're awake. Now, I'll be a bit more specific. The first part is about Inception, the movie, which questions whether we can control our dreams and more. And I'll come to that. And the second part of today's podcast is where I answer one of our listeners' questions. And the listener in this case was Fran. And she said, Do we have to do a dream alchemy like for every dream? Because that works out to be an awful lot of dream alchemies. And, you know, probably I wouldn't actually get much time to live my life if I was doing so many dream alchemy practices. So I address that in the second half of today's podcast, and also move from there to look at ways that you can measure the progress that you're making with your dream alchemy when you do it. So that's a new thing that I think many of you have not read about or heard me speak about. So, of course, I'm keeping that to the end, and hope that you'll enjoy all of this. So both of these are from blogs that I've posted recently, but with a lot more thrown in as we go. So here we go. The first one is about Inception. Can you control your dreams? And can you control other people's dreams? Have you seen the movie Inception, directed by Christopher Nolan and starring Leonardo DiCaprio, released in recent weeks? It's about a team of people who control other people's dreams and get them to reveal their secrets. The team is asked to go one stage further, to control a target's dream and implant an idea, so that when the target wakes up, he believes the idea is his own and acts on it. It makes a great story for the movie, but there are easier ways to do this, such as hypnosis, NLP, and suggestion wrapped in analogy. But anyway, back to the movie. I won't spoil your enjoyment of the movie by saying any more, except that the fiction raises many questions about dreams and reality, and the question of controlling dreams is top of the list. So, can you control your dreams? Yes, I'll tell you how. But let's look at the other question first. Can you control other people's dreams? You can't control another person's dream, but you can certainly influence it. One way is to manipulate the dreamer's environment. Dreams often incorporate external stimuli. For example, if the room temperature suddenly becomes very cold, the dream weather may change to snow. Or the dreamer may dream of being in a refrigerated room, or of getting goosebumps, thinking a ghost is in the room. Have you ever woken to discover the strange sound in your dream was really your alarm clock beeping, a phone ringing, or a siren screaming? And at this point, I'm just going to read a short one of mine where that happened, and I think it'll make you laugh. I called it, "It's a what?" And this is what I wrote. He was tall and rivetingly handsome, striding towards the ocean, wearing a new seafaring sweater and carrying something under his arm. What was it? An inflatable raft? What's that? I asked, pointing to the raft. Or was it a set of bagpipes? He looked bewildered, as I was by now, but an old lady behind me in the dream coughed up. It's a... What was going on? She struggled on, a kind of phlegmy stutter, getting worse. It's a k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k- source of her guttural utterances. The dog we were minding was splayed out on her back beside the bed, snoring like a 10-ton hippopotamus. K-k-k-k-ug-yak-yak-yak-yak. Sounds, smells, lights, and other stimuli from our sleeping environment often get absorbed into our dreams, challenging our dreaming minds to incorporate them into the dream storyline in a way that makes sense. A squeaky overhead fan once made it into one of my dreams as a screeching witch, while a biting mosquito transformed into a hypodermic syringe. I wondered how long that dog had been snoring. Some time, I bet, given my struggle in the dream to name the mystery object. An inflatable raft and a set of bagpipes are both airbags, and that handsome dream man was carrying them exactly where lungs belong, under his arm. It's the job of our dreams to make sense of our world, and mine did pretty well, linking snoring with lungs. Maybe I can catch up with a tall, rivetingly handsome man tonight. Now, I actually wrote that back in November last year. It's now August of the next year. So it's quite funny that I picked that one to tell you about, forgetting that it was all about lungs. And here I am, recovering from my flu / pneumonia / whatever it was. I'm glad it only lasted 2 days. Anyway, back to the article on Inception, because that was just a little example of how the external environment can influence a dream, and therefore about how maybe you can manipulate another dreamer's environment or another dreamer's dream by changing the environment. And of course, if you have seen Inception, the movie, you know that they do that quite a lot on many different levels. I'm sure, however, that you don't need me to warn you not to do this unless your dreamer invites you to experiment. It's unethical. If you do something to challenge a person's understanding of their world, it's highly likely that the challenge will be processed in the dreamer's dream, either that night or the night after. Our dreams process our conscious and unconscious experiences of the last 24 to 48 hours as we continually try to make sense of our world. It's a bit like updating your hard drive, updating your thoughts and beliefs about your world based on all your past experiences, emotions, and memories. Anything new and challenging is top of the list for processing in a dream. So while you can't control a person's dreams, you can certainly influence them, intentionally or unintentionally. Can you control your own dreams? Yes, but it takes dedication to achieve this. This is what to do. To take control in a dream, you need to be aware that you are dreaming. Usually, we think a dream is real. We have no idea that we have a waking reality until the moment we wake up and realize that what seemed so real was in fact a dream. When you realize that you are dreaming and continue to dream, knowing that you also have a waking life, you are lucid dreaming. That's the point at which you can, if you wish, take control and direct your dream. You might want to fly or walk through a wall, or practice something you'd like to achieve in waking life, but first you need to become lucid. So how can you do this? Here's one way. Choose a totem. This might be a new bracelet you wear on your wrist, a special pebble you carry in your pocket, a fingernail you paint blue, anything. Look at your totem every half hour throughout the day and ask yourself, am I dreaming? Seriously consider the question. Look around for evidence that you are dreaming. Then apply the acid test. Levitate. If you don't levitate, you're probably not dreaming. If you do levitate, then you absolutely know you are dreaming. That's the point at which you can take control of your lucid dream. And of course, make sure you choose a safe test like levitating rather than a dangerous test like leaping from a high place, expecting to fly. Why do you need a totem? Your dream processes your experiences of the last 24 to 48 hours, so looking at that new totem every half hour is a weird enough experience for your dreaming mind to prioritize. Your dream is likely to feature the mysterious totem. Although your dream totem may look a bit different from your actual totem, it should work to prompt you to ask yourself that key question, am I dreaming? Well, are you, as you're listening to me on the podcast? Are you dreaming this? Can you levitate? Now, it's quite funny because there are actually many different ways that you can test to see if you're lucid dreaming and many different ways to try to get yourself lucid dreaming. One of them is to look at numbers in a dream. You know, you look at, say, the numbers on a analog clock, and if you look away in your dream and look again, often the numbers will change. My son Ewan is actually very, very practiced at lucid dreaming, and I was just saying to him the other day, we must get you on a podcast show sometime to share some of your lucid dream experiences, and he's definitely up for that. However, last night I had a dream where I was trying to phone someone on a mobile phone and I couldn't get the phone to ring. You know, I'm sure it was all connected with my flu, but anyway, interpretation apart, I actually asked myself the question in the dream, am I dreaming? I don't know why I did it, but I did. You know, it was totally out of context. And I said, am I dreaming? And I concluded in my dream that I wasn't. And my reasoning for that was because the number that I was calling was correct. And over again, I kept calling and keying in exactly the right numbers of my husband's telephone, his mobile phone, his cell phone. But it wasn't going through in the dream. So I actually had the number right and decided on the basis of that, that I was awake. In another spectacular dream, I think this was about 15 years ago, I dreamt I was on the top of a double-decker bus giving a lecture on lucid dreaming. And the bus was going along and I was up the front of the double-decker bus and all the audience were sitting on the seats and I was we were traveling around Glasgow, where I once lived and, in fact, where I went to university. And I was pointing my hands down the streets and saying, oh, look, you know, this is Byers Road and this is Great Western Road, and pointing to all the streets and giving this incredible lecture on lucid dreaming. And in the dream, I was getting all the details correct. You know, I was giving perfect formulae for how to identify whether you're in a lucid dream. But I woke up without realizing that I, in fact, was dreaming. Most of the time, of course, we dream without realizing we're dreaming. And so we have little chance to decide whether to control the dream or not. But we do have the option when we wake up to decide what to do with the dreams that we remember. And of course, you know, our decisions include, number one, interpret the dream and understand how our mind works better. And number two, apply dream alchemy. And this is where Fran, our listener, stepped in and asked the question. I actually wrote the response as a recent blog, so I'm reading it out to you now. I hope you enjoy it. It's called Dream Alchemy for Every Dream. 20 times a day for 2 weeks is the startled response I usually hear when I describe the procedure for a dream alchemy visualization to a first-time client. Yes, then twice a day for another 4 weeks, I add, just first thing in the morning and last thing at night. So just a reminder, dream alchemy practices are simple exercises such as visualizations based on symbols from your dream. Your dream symbols come from your unconscious mind, so these carefully designed practices work by communicating directly with the unconscious mind to transform limiting beliefs. When you do dream alchemy, waking life magic happens. But 20 times a day? In reality, the visualizations I design take only 1 to 2 minutes to do, and you can choose to do them in batches if you wish. Once you've done your visualization a handful of times, you find that you can speed them up whilst also amping up the required emotions. Doing the visualizations also make you feel good, really good, so you'll find you're keen to do them anyway. But still, 20 times a day? And so we come to Fran's question. She said, how many dream alchemy practices should you be doing? I'm thinking, if one full alchemy exercise takes 6 weeks, do you wait for that one to finish before starting another? If you had to do an alchemy for each dream, surely there wouldn't be enough time in the day. Of course, Fran is right. Imagine remembering 5 dreams a night, every night, and trying to do a dream alchemy visualization for all of them. So what's the solution? Well, actually, there are many different kinds of dream alchemy. And if you've been listening to the podcast for a long time, you'll realize that I tend to give dream alchemy visualizations during the podcast because they're the kind of things that all you as listeners can visualize and get a clear picture of. But of course, really, there are a whole range of dream alchemy practices that I use with my clients and that you can use for yourself. So in addition to visualization, you can do affirmation. And I don't mean everyday affirmations. These are affirmations using your dream symbols to talk to your unconscious mind and make changes. Visualization, affirmation, artwork, writing, poetry, dialogue, body work and physical alchemies, and also give back the belief exercises. And repetition is only required for visualizations and affirmations. That's the good news. The designated number of reps is a result of my research and practical work with clients over the years. And yet I sometimes set different reps for different situations, including stepping visualizations down to 10 reps for the second week. Visualization and affirmation are the most powerful of the dream alchemy practices. So I usually set these for either recurring dream themes that reflect recurring waking life issues that need to be resolved, or for extremely significant dreams. So here's my advice. Apply a dream alchemy visualization or affirmation for 1, a recurring dream theme, or 2, an extremely significant dream. Begin a new visualization or affirmation if you wish, once you have completed the first 2 weeks of the current one. By then, you will be doing the first 2 weeks of your new alchemy while you are in the twice-a-day phase of the old one. Then watch your other dreams closely for signs that the alchemy is working. Then for other dreams that you'd like to alchemize during this period, choose from the once-only list: artwork, writing, poetry, dialogue, bodywork or physical exercises, or the give back the belief exercise. Now, you can find details of all of these in my book Dream Alchemy, which is published by Hachette, and which you can either buy or discover more details about on my website at www.dream.net.au. While you're doing your dream alchemy, keep a little book. Now, that's separate from your dream journal, and call it your dream alchemy journal. Record your practices on the right-hand pages, and then use the left-hand pages to note insights and waking life results. So that's it in a nutshell. I could write a whole book on this. Oops, I have already. That's Dream Alchemy, published Hachette. I'll just give it another little plug. So when you come to me, either as a podcast guest or you say book a consultation with me and either have a phone or Skype email consultation or that's my fluey brain talking there, a Skype email consultation. You either have a Skype or phone consultation with me or you have an email consultation with me. When I interpret your dream and we discuss how it relates to your waking life, and then of course we look at what your dream says about how your mind works and what your dream says about, or what your dream shows about, how your unconscious mind is programmed with various limiting beliefs. And then I ask you the question, would you prefer your waking life to be different? Would you like to get rid of these limiting beliefs? Would you like to do some magic with them? Would you like to do some dream alchemy practices in which we talk to your unconscious mind and change those limiting beliefs so that your waking life changes? When you answer yes to all those questions, I give you a dream alchemy practice. And if it's a significant dream, it's usually a visualization. But I then go from there to send you a document, and I call it the Glimmers of Gold document. And it's a document that you can use once you've had a consultation with me to actually measure and record the progress of your dream alchemy practice. So say, for example, you might have a dream that you interpret, that we interpret, and we set a dream alchemy practice, and you do that dream alchemy practice because you want a certain limiting belief to disappear so that you can achieve X in your life. Now, that X is likely to come along within a very short period of time. Or maybe sometimes you don't quite get as far as X, but you get very, very close, and then you get much closer and attain X very soon after that. But it's not just about achieving the X. There are many stepping stones along the way. And that's part of the alchemy, and it's really important to be able to measure your progress. So I'm just trying to think of a simple example. Let's say that you wanted in your waking life say you're single and you want to find a perfect partner, right? So we set the alchemy to maybe release and undo limiting beliefs that you've got in your unconscious about finding the perfect partner. Now, when you do your alchemy, it may be that the next day or in 2 weeks or in 4 weeks or in 6 weeks or very soon thereafter, your perfect partner will come along. And very much that is what I would expect to happen for you. But along the way, certain changes will need to happen in your life. And some of the ways in which you respond to people and some of the ways in which you warm to people or cool to people, some of your general ways in which you interact with people in relationship, and other things are going to have to shift and change to put you in exactly the right position to notice, acknowledge, and welcome and attract that perfect partner when they come along. So it's not just about wham, bam, there's your result. It's about all the little things that have to happen within you slotting into place so that you can achieve that end result. And that's what the dream alchemy does. It sets into motion like, you know, the old dominoes where you knock one domino and it knocks over the next one and the next one and the next one. And those are all the little beliefs that change in you and all the other little things that change along the way to getting the final goal. So it's really lovely to be able to track and measure this progress. And that's why I send out this Glimmers of Gold document to everyone who does a consultation with me. So it's too long and complicated to go over on the podcast, but I'll just tell you that there are 19 major points of measurement that you can measure in your waking life to track your progress, and plus one that you can measure in your subsequent dreams. So just to pick a few from your waking life, for example, you're asked to go and notice how many things, here's one. Something that has been difficult suddenly becomes easier. And so you just keep your eyes open and you notice and you bullet point under that every time you notice in your life there's something, no matter what, whether or not it's related to the goal that you're going for, you notice that something that has been difficult suddenly seems easier. And when you know that you're looking for that, the moment you notice it, you write it down, you just bullet point it under that point, and you know that that is one of the many things that are slotting into place. It's one of those dominoes that are falling over to achieve your goal. Another one you're asked to look out for in Glimmers of Gold is you see a new way to do something. And that's one of the ones that really, that's one of the ones that people really love, and they often email me and say, "You'll never believe this, but I used to find such and such really hard, and I suddenly saw a new way to do something, and I can't believe that I never saw that before." And again, it may not seem to be related to your goal, but it actually is. It's one of the things that changes along with the alchemy on the road to achieving your goal. And just a couple more. Here's another one that often takes people by surprise and is really lovely to experience. someone seems to act out of character in a good way. And that comes through in abundance. And that's a beautiful thing to notice. You're just doing your alchemy, even if it is 20 times a day. And you suddenly start noticing people acting out of character in a good way. And you write it down in your Dream Alchemy practice book under your glimmers of gold. And you know that yet another domino has fallen down on the way to achieving your goal. I'll just pick one more at random. Here it is. You respond differently to someone or to a situation than you used to. So again, it may not appear to be anything to do with your goal. In this example, finding your perfect partner. But it will be a sign along the way. You respond differently to someone or to a situation than you used to. So it is a science, and so it should be. I did graduate as a scientist a long time ago. For those of you that don't know, I actually did a zoology degree at Glasgow University and graduated in 1975, which is now a very long time ago, and specialized in neurophysiology, which is how the brain and nerves link up. But I do still fall back on and use that scientific upbringing and research alongside all the other qualities and approaches that I've learned to apply during my life. Dream alchemy practices and being able to track them in measurable ways using glimmers and gold, that comes from my science days. I think my voice got through this podcast, and I thank you for your patience in listening to a very crackly voice. And I wasn't really able to put perhaps the emphasis and energy into my voice to keep it as perhaps as enticing and interesting as usual. But I do thank you for listening this far. And I know that by next week, my voice will be back to normal. I have a guest lined up for next week, and I'm really looking forward to bringing something quite interesting to you from that interview next week. So thanks for listening to yet another episode of The Dream Show. As usual, you can find out a lot more information, free resources, and how to contact me for consultation and all sorts of other things at my website at www.dream.net.au. And visit me on my blog for more chatty things at janetheresa.com, or come and say hello on Facebook. Enjoy your week. I'm off for another slug at that lovely wild elderberry throat stuff that I bought yesterday that seems to have made a big difference to my voice. And I think I'm going to go for another nice long sleep. And I'll see you next week for another episode of The Dream Show. I'm Jane Theresa Anderson.
If you've had a dream you'd like interpreted on this program, send your email to thedreamshow@lifestylepodnetwork.com. You can also follow Jane on Twitter at twitter.com/dreamsite. The Dream Show is a production of Dreamsite Corporation for the Lifestyle Pod Network. You can find more great podcasts like this one at lifestylepodnetwork.com.